Hello, Linehook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Linehook Thoughts Podcast. Welcome back to another episode, and I'm very excited for my guest today. My guest today is Chef Inav Geffen, and just to give you a little bit about her, she is the corporate executive chef of Unilever in North America, and she was born and raised in Israel. When she was in Israel, she packed two suitcases, and with her boyfriend, who is now her husband, she moved to New York City 22 years ago to go to culinary school. Since then, she's gotten married, has had three kids, moved to New Jersey, and has adopted two dogs. Her mantra is, I never lose, I either win or learn. And way before Unilever, she worked in restaurants in Israel and New York City. She built a culinary center, taught professional cooking in New York, and joined Unilever retail 13 years ago. After leading the culinary team under research and development, she moved to her current position and is loving it. When she's not working, her world revolves around food, and this is her calm space. As a former track and fielder, sports is very important. It's a very important part of her life, along with hiking, reading, and then cooking some more. And the reason we're chatting today is because I've been following their organization, Fair Kitchens, for quite some time. And to let you know what Fair Kitchen is, it's something that she's helped build. It is through Unilever, and it is just a great organization that I've been following. So basically, research was done by Unilever Food Solutions, and it was done in 2017, and it revealed a very serious well-being issue within the professional kitchens. I've actually referred to this before in previous podcasts because I think the study is super important. But the study had found, and this is from Unilever, that 74% of chefs were sleep-deprived to the point of exhaustion, 63% of chefs felt depressed, and more than half felt pushed to the breaking point. And with the challenges that 2020 has delivered, well-being within professional kitchens remains a key issue. This is off their website saying what Fair Kitchens is about. So what Fair Kitchens is it's a starting point of the movement to make our industry more sustainable. And they say that they have updated it to fit the reality we live in and emphasize the importance of creating a healthy kitchen culture based on open communication, passion, support, and teamwork. And that is what our podcast is about today. We learn more about Chef Inav, and then we go into what Fair Kitchens works on, how it was built, and kind of the goals and solutions that the industry, or that we see the industry needing, or that Fair Kitchens sees the industry needing. We also talk about why positive progression forward can be met with pushback. I just thought this was a very insightful conversation. Chef goes very deep into a lot of issues that, you know, face cooks nowadays, and goes also very deep into a very large problem that we're seeing play out, which is great talent leaving the restaurant sector of the food industry. So I hope you all enjoy. Obviously, please check them out at www.fairkitchens.com. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at We Are Fair Kitchens. That's at We Are Fair Kitchens. And just thank you so much to Chef for coming on once again. And here we go. Two, one, and welcome to the show. If you would like to just introduce yourself to the audience, that would be great.
Sure. So my name is Inav Geffen. I'm the corporate executive chef for Unilever North America, located in New Jersey.
Awesome. And before we get into kind of our conversation today, could you just share a little bit about kind of your role? Because I, like I said, I think that is such a cool position to be in, you know, Unilever having so many different brands under its name. So what exactly, you know, do you do in your position?
Oh, sometimes I don't know myself. So it's a very good question.
Fair enough.
No 2 days are alike, but if I need to try and simplify what stands behind this fat title is a couple of things. I lead the culinary team for our B2B arm, and my culinary team is scattered around North America. I have chefs all over the US and Canada. We work very closely with our sales team, because what we do is actually conversations with chefs and restaurant owners to try and sell in our products. So that's one component. Another component is part of the leadership team. I'm the, if you will, the culinary curator, or the guardian of everything culinary strategically, what it is that we want to develop, what it is that we want to acquire, does it have a need, where the industry stands. And very much I see my job also as kind of like the spy in the market, in the sense of really making sure that I keep my tentacles out in everything that happens in the market and bringing it back into the business to see how we can respond to that. But first and foremost, I'm serving our customers, which are all the chefs and operators out there with our products mainly, but also with the added value that we bring with our chefs and of course for kitchens.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's very interesting the viewpoint you probably have across the industry, you know, having your customers be chefs and being people in the industry and also being able to see a much larger view that probably than most. So no, that's very interesting. And just a little backstory on you, if you'd like to just share, you know, real quick where you're from and kind of how you got into food, I think that'd be great as well.
Sure. So the funny name is Hebrew. I was born and raised in Israel and packed my two suitcases and came to the States almost 22 years ago. I'm a chef by all means. Most of my career prior to culinary is restaurants and professional cooking and teaching. I started at Unilever 13 years ago, leading the culinary team under our R&D retail arm, where we develop products and do all the tolerance testing, working hand in hand with all our food scientists for everything you see in the supermarket under our brands, Hellmann's, Knorr, Lipton. And 4 years ago, I moved to our B2B arm. This is Unilever Food Solutions that services the food service industry on all its segments, being non-commercial, all the way up to national chains, regional chains, hotels, and so on and so forth. We do have the same brands, but a totally different set of products. And needless to say that the conversation between an end user that is, you know, my neighbor that cooks dinner for her family is different than I my chef colleagues that need something totally different in a professional kitchen environment. So what I do on a daily basis, very, very, very. I work on global innovations. Wherever North America is a lead market, I work with our global teams on deciding what those innovations are and helping them developing it. I'm part of the leadership team. So everything that has to do with strategy of how we want to run the company, what it is that we want to activate and push, how campaigns may look like, are components of what I do. And a lot of training and cooking internally and externally, a lot of customer engagements and also, a lot of networking and industry involvement that I do with Google, with the Rockefeller Foundation, with different startups to make sure that we are on the cutting edge of what's happening in the food industry.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing all that. It sounds like such a cool position. And like I said, before we started recording, I could probably ask you a whole podcast worth of questions on the work you do. So maybe for another day. But the reason I wanted to have you on is I've been following your organization or kind of what you've created, which is We Are Fair Kitchens or Fair Kitchens. And if you could just go ahead and just kind of describe what that is to the audience before we start getting into it, that I think that would be a good point for our conversation to begin.
Absolutely. So Fair Kitchens, We Are Fair Kitchens is our Instagram handler. Fair Kitchens is a movement that we have launched 3 years ago, very much not in a Unilever manner. We are so used to launching things with all T's crossed and I's dotted. This one was much more like a startup and it really started by us paying attention to the fact that talent is leaving the industry and talent or people that are passionate about food do not want to enter this industry. And as a supplier to the industry, we were baffled and we said, okay, we owe it to ourselves and to the industry to understand why does it happen? Why people shy away, even though they love food of starting their career in the industry. And we did a research, I think it's one of its kind, as far as I know, that was both qualitative and quantitative to really try and understand what's going on. We did the research with 430 chefs across the globe. US was one of the countries. And that we on one end, we had surveys. On the other hand, we had professionals shadowing chefs for the day throughout their time in the kitchen and outside of the kitchen. And what we came up with, I always say was not shocking to me because I have worked in kitchen for so long, but definitely shocking to anyone else that is not so familiar with the grinding of working in a kitchen. And the numbers really black and white showed us that people feel lack of self-fulfillment, meaning that many people that enter the industry do not see a path for them to become chefs or own the restaurants down the road. People suffer from self deprivation, from sleep deprivation, from malnourishment, funny enough, in our industry. A lot of anxiety and depression and, you know, suffering all kinds of abuse that manifests itself in different places, throughout the world, being verbal or physical. And all those drivers cause almost 80% in the U.S. to walk out of the industry within 2 years of work. And many more people rethinking if, even though they really love food, if that's what they want to do for a living. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have gathered in a room in our headquarters here in Englewood Cliffs. We brought chefs from the industry to sit with us in an agency, and we did a workshop for 2 days. The first day was really putting on the table everything that we think is not right in the industry, anywhere from support of good shoes and floor and lights all the way up to substance abuse and tougher things. And, mm-hmm. you know, the second day when we came back into the workshop, we looked at everything we had posted and we said, okay, if we were to do something to make a difference, what would it be? And this is how Fair Kitchens came to life, because it was very clear that even though there are many amazing, amazing platforms out there that talk about those concerns, not all of them are solution oriented in the sense of really saying, okay, we know there is a problem. What can I do about it? We wanted to be this place that offered that solution, not only generating it. It's not about us inventing it. It's about bringing all the voices that do great things out there around the table and offering low hanging fruits to chefs that do want to run their operation differently.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think you're right in a lot of what you said. I discovered your study. I was doing a podcast a few weeks ago, just trying to find data on why maybe chefs are leaving the industry or why it's hard for people to be in the industry. And it was shocking to see some of the numbers that you all shared or that you all discovered more so. But before, you know, getting into that, I really thought it was interesting that, you know, this came like a company as large as Unilever was able to give access or just a voice to the restaurant industry. How important do you think it was that, like, to see, you know, Unilever, your company, kind of pivot or just position themselves in a way to kind of give voice to people in the restaurant industry? Because I thought that was very interesting in itself.
It is extremely important. And I think, first and foremost, Unilever is a very, very proactive social company in the sense that we feel that, you know, our role in the industry is not only to make money and sell products, but by means of our reach and power, we need to do good. So across the board, Unilever has different missions, anywhere from hunger and washing hands and reducing disease. And, you know, it doesn't matter which of our brands. For us in Food Solutions, being a supplier to the food service industry, we have a responsibility to make sure that there is a healthy industry out there, not only for the good of ourselves, but for the greater good of everybody who works in that industry. And, you know, chefs really want to do drive a change, but any chef, no matter what operation they're working in, first and foremost, need to run a business. So the bandwidth that anyone who works out there of really driving change is very limited just by sheer of the other responsibilities they need to juggle on a daily basis. We can come in with our resources and platform and really help anybody who wants to make change, drive it bigger and faster. And this is what we do. This is really, Fair Kitchens is not about selling anything. Fair Kitchens is really about first acknowledging that there are things we need to fix, and then trying to gather other people around the table that are doing great things or experts that we can reach to and offer some solutions to operators that say, listen, I want to run a more culturally progressive, attractive business. I just don't know how to do that and where to begin. So that was the thinking behind that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really an incredible initiative. And getting into kind of the Fair Kitchens Code, I've been doing this for almost 3 years, the Line Cook Thoughts show, and speaking to chefs. And, you know, since day one, a big thing I've heard and then I've also promoted is this idea of making time outside of your work. So I always am saying, like, you know, you have to have a hobby that's not food to, like, you know, release creativity or to just relax and to kind of reset. And your code, I'll share it real quick. It's TEAMS, and it T stands for talk openly, E for excite passion, A for act as one, M for make time, and S for say good job. And for me, I think the make time was really interesting because, you know, in our industry, obviously, you have to be dedicated, you have to work hard, and there's very little talk about making time for something that's not related to your job or to the mission of creating food. Why was it important to have make time, especially, go into your code? Because I think it is an important topic.
This is something that came loud and clear from the people we've been talking to. You know that it always, and I think it's a human nature kind of thing. You know, when we are mm-hmm. so immersed in something, we don't really stop for a second and regenerate our batteries. And in an industry that is so creative and so demanding, if you do not pause to really, you know, regroup and recover and, you know, gain your energy from somewhere, and you're right, you know, I'm so immersed with food and I find myself as a chef, right? This is my mm-hmm. comfort zone. This is my, where I quiet my brain. It's even sitting in the kitchen with my cup of tea and flipping through cookbooks or magazines, you know, but I really don't pause. You know, and my time is when I do sports, right? This is where I take my brain totally off of that. But if you know, you always stop, it doesn't matter what you do, right? I think your most creative idea come after you're on vacation or you had a good night's sleep or, you know, something else. All of a sudden things click in your brain. I think this is how we work, and we tend to neglect that in our environment more than anywhere else just because it's so consuming. And it's for leaders in a kitchen, you know, what we've come to understand, and it's kind of common sense, but, you know, common sense is not common if you're not aware of it. But, you know, you get promoted in a kitchen based on your cooking skills, right? You do really well in one station. You're being promoted to another station. You're becoming a sous chef. Your responsibilities grow. And then you become a chef just by virtue of climbing through the brigade. Sometimes when you become an owner or you become executive chef in a kitchen running a team, your cooking skills are amazing. But where throughout the way do you learn how to manage a business and manage people?
Yep.
You don't. Either inherently you have that, or you have been training under a really, really great person that has those skills and you've managed to soak some of those into your MO. Otherwise, it's a trial and error type of a thing. And trial and error means a lot of money in a restaurant business where you know, your margin is already a very tight rope type of a game. So, you know, you need to make room and lead by example. If you as a leader show your team that you take the time, that you disconnect a day a week, you know, before the shift, you go for a run in the morning, I don't know, I disconnect for a weekend every few weeks for vacation, you make it as a green light for the rest of the people to do the same, and you embed a behavior that is much healthier at the end for everybody and your team.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And, you know, just that idea of taking the time to do what you need, but also taking the time to lead by example and the cost of everything, you know. So, like when I started in the restaurant industry, when I was cooking, like I didn't know much about food costs or labor costs or scheduling. And when I was actually put into that role, it was like, whoa, like I need to like learn this really quick. But kind of going into costs, like if you're not trained how to lead properly, like the average employee in a kitchen, turnover wise, costs about $5,000. And so like the cost alone of just training and getting someone up to speed on staff and the mistakes they make with food and whatnot, I mean, it can be costly if you're not trained properly. So I think it's a very smart way to look at it.
But that's the thing. People don't know it. People mm-hmm. are not, it's very hard to measure the cost of onboarding. It's somebody else's time of onboarding you, and how many mistakes do you make along the way mm-hmm. Of messing up food or the first dishes or whatever it is that you work on, right? Just by learning, it's starting to add up. And people, because it's so hard to quantify, it's hard to grasp, I think, for people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I totally agree. And, you know, kind of staying on that same line, you know, obviously right now we're seeing a shortage in talent in the food industry. A lot of people leaving restaurants. And I've been covering this topic for the last few months. And for me, I get a little frustrated because a lot of media outlets, I feel like, share that cooks are just staying home or they're just not working. And I've actually seen a lot of my peers, a lot of people that follow the page, going into different segments of the industry. I went into a different segment of the industry. Why do you think that's so? Like, what? And do you see that as a negative for the food industry, or do you see it as a positive? Because for me, you know, seeing people go and learn new skills and branch out, I can't be mad at someone for doing that. I mean, I'm doing that. And so I just think that it makes a more well-rounded industry, but obviously there's going to be impacts, and I especially feel for restaurant owners, but at the same time, obviously talent is going to do what it does. So what are your thoughts on this, like, movement into other sectors of the industry?
Well, I think, you know, you always have movement. The problem is the disproportional movement. And I think more so, at the end of the day, it's an emotional thing, I think, at the end. If you really love food and you say, you know what, if I would have been paid differently, if I could have had a better work-life balance, my dream job would have been in a restaurant, but I make the choice to go somewhere else because I'm getting more money, because I want my Saturdays off, or I want to be able to spend time with my family, then the decision of the movement or you moving into something else is not based on, hey, I want to expand my skills. You know, I'm all for expanding skills, right? It's obviously, at the end of the day, we all need to do what we love to do. Life is too short. I really, truly believe I do not spend a day in a place that I'm not happy. That's my rule of thumb. Things work out, right? But, you know, if you as a person say, you know what, my dream job is restaurant. That was my dream job since I was young. I love food. I love cooking for others. I would love to work in a kitchen. I don't want to work those hours, and I don't want to be paid like that. If that's the driver of your choice to do something else, then the inherent problem is the industry. And this is what Fair Kitchens come to change, right? We want you to make the choice based on apples to apples, basically. And I think it's the disproportional exit from the industry because it's based in more in the realm of, like, you know what, it's just not worth it for me anymore, as much as I love it. This is what needs to be fixing. There is so much to our industry is so diverse, and I think you know it from your time in the industry. There is so much to offer. You can do so many things. You can learn so much because it's such a complex industry. It's hospitality, right? So you can work in a kitchen, you learn how to cook, you learn different skills, you learn food cost, you learn teamwork. I think there are so many life skills. I can tell you, moving from professional kitchens into the corporate world, how many of my kitchen skills came so handy, still do, on a daily basis. I'm not fazed by stress. I know I can execute things in a very focused ways because that's the way you operate. You know, you just get things done. You roll your sleeve. You wash your dishes if you need to. I roll my sleeve. I'll do it. It really promoted me as a person. So, I think it's not the decision to change because you want to grow. My problem is if the decision to change is just because the industry is not attractive. And I think if we create a different industry that is more acceptable and more attractive, and then you can decide if that's really what you want to do or want to do something else. Now we have kind of like a playing field to talk about. At this point, I feel we're not there yet. We owe the change to the industry first to have that meaningful conversation.
Yes, I and I want to get, I guess, perspective. You know, we talk about we're not there yet, and we're not obviously to a point where we can compare, like you said, apples to apples. And as I started to do Line Cook Thoughts, and I'm sure you face this as well, you can be met with some pretty negative pushback from those in the industry saying, like, and I've been told, like, I don't understand, or, you know, this is how it's always been, or even worse things. Why do you think, like, I get a little just confused as to why making a better work environment for everyone is such a hard sell to our industry sometimes. Why do you think it's so difficult sometimes to have these conversations? Because not, I guess I get confused with it's just like, all right, we want people to have better work-life balance. We want people to have better pay. And obviously that's, there's no easy way to do that, but there has to be a solution somewhere. But before we can even start that, I feel like many are just met with so much opposition to it. And why do you think that's so, when it would most likely benefit a large majority of the people in the industry to have a better life and, you know, better pay?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, you know, when you talk about it and when you say it, people are like, yeah, it's a no brainer, right? But when you start peeling the onion, in my very shallow world of analogies, you know, it's people, first of all, people as human beings, I think you say change and people are just mortified by the word, you know, yeah. We all know that change is not always for the worse, often it's for the better, but the efforts that go into adapting to a change always seem cumbersome. And I think that for somebody who's running a business, who's need to balance, you know, the cost, and to say, okay, now you need to also change this, it immediately, it feels like another mountain to climb. I think that's the first reaction. And I think the second one is people don't even know where to begin. Where do you start when you say, okay, I need to do a change? Where do you start? You know, when somebody talks about their life and they say, okay, I know my life is not healthy. I'm operating. I'm okay. I'm, you know, I'm moving along, but I'm not happy. I need a change. Where do you start? You know, first you need a self-reflection. You need to look, you need to be able to zoom out and look at the things and say, okay, you can't boil the ocean and say, I'm going to flip everything on its head, because at the end of the day, you need to run a business. But you need some guidance to tell you, okay, this is the step one, step two, step three. And I think up till now, nobody did it. You either did it on your own, or you didn't have the bandwidth to do that. And this is what Fur Kitchen is about. We want to try and be that, okay, let's start. And that's why we broke the acronym TEAMS in such a basic way, right? It's to say, guys, this is not, let's environment. You also, people say, okay, oh, to create an environment, I need to pay more. I need to offer benefits. I can't do that. I don't make enough money, you know, to offer health insurance. That's the first reaction we got when we talk to chefs. They're like, well, I can't pay more. I can't give benefits. But there are so many things that are not monetary that are just as important, if not even more, you know, respect, anything else that goes in any other work environment that is, again, common sense, right? Of just acknowledgement and respect and rewarding on a good job, and, you know, lift your head from the cutting board and look somebody in the eye when you ask them, how are you today? You know, I think this is what needs to be explained. I think people are so thinking, oh, change, first it's going to cost me more, and then it's going to take a lot of my time. So I think that's the reluctant approach. I also think, you know, to be very honest, we are in a very macho-like type of an environment where for many years to be vulnerable or to seem, you know, vulnerable could be perceived as weakness. You know, it's you couldn't come in and say, you know what, I'm just not my best today. I'm not feeling well. I didn't sleep well. I'm not as focused. You can't, you know, I was brought in an industry where I was told to keep my mouth shut, my head down and do my work. You know, and that's exactly what needs to change. You need to be able to come and say, hey, chef, today I'm just not having a good day. So chef will know that, you know, somebody else may need to step up today, to make up, because we're all humans at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, like I said, I totally agree. And you said something in there that really like stuck or really set out for me, you know, the idea of just lifting your head up from the cutting board to say hi to someone, how often that's not done. I mean, like, just little things like that do make a difference. And, you know, I'd love to get your opinion on this. So for me, a lot of my content that I've put out over the last few years has been this idea of status in the industry, more so in fine dining, but really can be found anywhere. I think our industry suffers a lot from, and this is going back to like why people, I feel like a lot of opposition can be had, just like the status roles or the status games that we play in the industry. Obviously, you need to respect your chef, you need to respect your leaders in the kitchen. But I think a lot of times too many people get caught up in, oh, well, this person's only been here 6 months, or I had to work this station for three years. And now, so like, therefore you have to be stuck there for 3 years. And just like this idea of status and, kind of where everyone is in the industry, I really think just prohibits growth. And I think it's so rigid and it's so like just based on status instead of like work improvement and actually your skills improving and your ability to, you know, be promoted. And I think a lot of people get caught in that. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on that. Because for me, I think that holds the industry back a ton when it comes to like people improving and progressing further in their careers.
No, absolutely. And I think, again, this is, you know, kind of like old way of doing things versus, you know, the new way of looking at things. Because in any other industry, you, A, being developed, right? You're being trained, you're being invested in, and you're being promoted based on your skill, not necessarily the time that you've put in one thing or another. Of mm-hmm. course, you want it to correlate, you know? Of course, in a perfect world, the more you work on one thing, the better you get at it. But, you know, maybe you are an amazing, you know, multitasker and I'm an amazing detail person, you know? If we would learn to look at things a little different and know how to recognize skills and, you know, hone the things you're good at, you know, to become really, really good rather than try and have you good at everything. You know, that you can run a kitchen in a whole different way. But that again goes back to your question of, you know, a change is needed in seeing things in a different way. And I think, you know, COVID was disastrous for our industry. There is no slicing and dicing about it. Our industry was probably one of the industries that were impacted, the hospitality industry in totality, right? Impacted the most.
Yeah.
And it was a really testimony to how unsustainable this business is in the way that it's been running. As long I said to another colleague of mine, I said, you know, when you're running a marathon, right, you won't stop and change your shoes. You just can't, right? You will plow through it until you get to the finish line. But we were forced to stop with COVID. And I think that gave us a pause. And if you flip it and look at it as an opportunity amongst all the darkness that it brought, so you know what, this is the time to implement change. The people that will do that will be the people that will come on the other side significantly stronger.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So, yeah, I think, thank you first for, you know, just sharing that. And I just think it's an important topic, the idea of status. Because, you know, that's one of those things that doesn't cost anything, you know, just, it's just how you view your relationship to your employees and your staff. So I think that is very important to keep top
Absolutely.
Of mind. So I want to get into now, obviously I know we have a little bit of time left. I'd like to get into kind of some solutions that Fair Kitchens has developed and kind of what your organization hopes to achieve in terms of helping people in the restaurant industry.
So, you know, when we started, we quickly understood that we can't be one size fits all mm-hmm. Type of initiative in the sense of, you know, this is not, oh, we will, you know, talk to a psychologist and, you know, whatever they say will solve, you know, the problem for everybody. We quickly understood that in different places may have different degrees of different issues that they need struggling or they need solutions for. And we said, okay, we are not going to start by being one size fits all. We're going to listen first and see what the industry tells us that they need and then try and meet those needs. And with that, we originally really concentrated a lot on mental health. That came loud and clear in North America as being one of the most acute concerns. And unfortunately, the death of Anthony Bourdain that happened a few months mm-hmm. after we launched the Fair Kitchens really underlined the importance. You know, here you have somebody who has the dream job, right? If you look up dream job in a dictionary, you have Anthony Bourdain's picture right there. Who doesn't want to travel the world, eat everything and have a TV show about it? And yet you have yeah. a very, very unhappy person, so much so to the point that they feel they need to take their own lives. And this is a well-known person that was talked about, but there are many, many, many others that either contemplate suicide or tried or unfortunately succeeded in our industry. The rates of suicide is huge. And it was made clear that mental health And the need to talk about it is one of the first things that we need to tackle. And this is what we have kind of took on at the first few years. And the solution we put together is talking to psychologists and putting resources on our fairkitchens.com site, talking to chefs that are doing things right while running a successful business, sharing their success and how they run their teams in a sustainable way that allows, you know, for their talent to stick around for many years. We have conducted events when we could see in person called Herd, where we've gathered up to 40 employees in a room from different segments with a panel of a chef and a professional psychologist. No media was allowed to have an open discussion and offer solutions for other team leaders that struggle with somebody on their team suffering from a substance abuse or mental health or themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really the discussion we're going back to. It's okay to say, I am not okay. You know, why is it okay anywhere else? Why is it okay to say my back hurts and not okay to say I'm depressed? You know, this is, there is no difference. So, you know, breaking that taboo via conversation, via our Take 20s on our IG Lives, which are discussions with a slew of chefs and professionals to offer means of dealing with pressure and stress when stress is too much stress. That was up till now. And in 2021, whatever remaining of it, we are launching three different initiatives this year. We will be talking soon about an initiative we have just launched to help 500 operators get mental health support. We will sponsor that. We are working on a training with the Culinary Institute of America of how to be a Fair Kitchens leader. Because, you know, as I said before, you know, you've been promoted through the ranks via your cooking skills, but, you know, giving those managerial toolkit that in every other organization, right, as a corporate person now, what that's the first thing I was immersed in. So give some of those tools back to the industry free. We are sponsoring that with the Culinary Institute of America. And we are working on an exclusive proprietary train-the-trainer type of a program to promote diversity and inclusion with more females in the force and mainly females of power, of color. So, you know, the idea of now that we've listened to the industry for the better part of 2 years to really start building those solutions and offer them wherever we can free to the industry across the globe.
Wow, I mean, that all sounds amazing. I am a CIA grad, so very, very excited to hear that you're working with them. And but anything that you need shared, obviously, feel free to send over.
We will do. Careful what you ask for.
definitely. But also, so, I mean, thank you for sharing that. Excited to see you actually implementing solutions, like, in the real world. If you could share kind of where people can access Fair Kitchens right now. Obviously, they're listening to the podcast. They want to learn more about it. Maybe they want to join kind of this community. Where can they do that? And what can they do to join?
You know, to join, all you need is to recognize that a change is needed and just want to be part of a change driver. We have fairkitchens.com. This is our website where you can see a lot of the materials, the numbers we have discussed earlier today. You can see there some details on the research that we have done, but all those inspirational tools are there. Join us on Instagram at We Are Fair Kitchens, where we post almost daily insights and thoughts from chefs from all over the world. It's important to know that Fair Kitchens now is in 9 different countries across the globe. And we also have our Take 20 on our IG Live. So you can see the recordings from previous sessions and hear some great stuff. We have worked with Ryan Beck. He's one hell of a guy. And he is the founder of Body Art. It's a type of a workout that incorporates mind and body. And he created a proprietary 5 short segments of workout for people in kitchens that we can do before, during, or after a shift to just minimize the impact to our back, neck, knees, you know, breathing. So it can be as simple as that. You can check out all those solutions We are on LinkedIn and Facebook. Facebook is more popular in other countries. We are in the North America more predominant on Instagram, just by where our followers really play. And all those are great. You can always email me at enav.geffen@unilever.com with any thoughts, insights. If you want to share anything with us, we really want to be able to share not only challenges, but also great solutions that anyone may be doing in their operation and can be helpful to somebody else. That's the whole idea of Fur Kitchens. I don't want to invent the wheel. I have zero desire in inventing the wheel. This is not what I'm here to do. What I would like is to share anything great that is happening out there with others, so they can do the same and gain from the same benefits.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I mean, I love the Instagram. Obviously, I followed it for quite some time. So I would definitely check out their Instagram. Their website has a lot of great stuff. It has their code. Like you said, they have a lot of numbers behind kind of what chefs are going through. So just really interesting all around, and just really appreciate the work you all are doing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I end all my interviews kind of the same way. Before I do kind of close out the interview, is there anything else you'd like to add or to say to the cooks or anyone in the food industry listening?
I think this is, I said it before, but I think it's important, to hear it again. This is the time. This is the time to change. And if we will not take this bull opportunity by its horns, we will miss a great time for us to really make this industry a little better. And the aim is not to boil the ocean, as I said. Small things, big impact are very much kind of like the vibe that we have. So for me, it's a call to action. We're here to help. Take a look in the mirror. Take a look at your teams. Sit down with your teams and discuss with them how a good environment looks to them. I think there is power in listening. We need to pause for a second and listen. And important to know that nobody is alone out there. There is a huge group of people that really want to see this industry thrive. And we need to lean in. We need to lean in together. So, for me, this is what I would like your listeners to kind of keep in mind. And definitely thank you, first of all, for following us, but also for giving us the stage.
Yeah, of course. It's an honor to have you all on, and I've just enjoyed learning more about everything you all do. But speaking of the stage, now that you've been on the show, I like to call my followers the Line Cook Nation, a group of chefs, cooks, front of house people, just people in general with humble beginnings in the restaurant industry looking to grow and learn with each other. Now that you've been on the show, what does it mean for you to be able to speak to this community?
It means everything. That's what it all boils down to. We cannot build a community if we cannot have the discussion, and we cannot have the discussion if we don't have platforms like that, to bring the awareness and open the dialogue. So, to have a website and have an Instagram handler is great, but those are just an enablers to try and put the message out there. I think the podcast and the listeners and opening the discussion for everybody, this is where the unlock is.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you all once again for listening to the episode. Once again, please check out Fair Kitchens at www.fairkitchens.com. You can follow them at Facebook and Instagram at We Are Fair Kitchens. And thank you so much for Chef Enav for coming on the show. And thank you so much to Fair Kitchens for being such a great organization, helping people in the industry. Really cool, obviously, having it being backed by Unilever, such a tremendous company in the food industry with so many brands and so many consumer goods. Like I said, I'm so interested in that space as well. And just to be able to talk to Chef was really an honor and a pleasure. So go check them out. Thank you all for listening. Also, if you're on Apple, please leave a review. It helps our podcast get more listeners, and it helps me get better at the show. And finally, a new blog post is out discussing why food should be enjoyable. So to go to linecookthoughts.com to read that blog post that I put out this June 1st. And very excited for more content to come. Hope you all are doing well. I know it's getting warmer out. It's getting to be a very nice summer. where I'm at down in Maryland, and just hoping you all have some time to get out and enjoy yourselves a little bit, and I will see you on the next Line Cook Thoughts podcast.